Living Your Soul's Journey with Dr. Vicki airs every Sunday night on BBS Radio. Go to her website at www.livingyoursoulsjourney.com and fill out the Freedom to Be Me journal to get your free 20-minute session with Dr. Vicki. She offers various counseling sessions as well as the life-changing soul rejuvenation to guide you to live authentically on your soul's journey. If you lose it when you meet a guy and simply want to learn to be independent, free and happy in or out of a relationship, then listen each Sunday night to Living Your Soul's Journey with Dr. Vicki and join her on Living Your Soul's Journey on Facebook.
Welcome this evening to Living Your Soul's Journey. I am Dr. Vicki. I am pleased to be here this evening. It's a very special time because everyone is getting excited about the holidays and people are running around and, you know, it's actually fun to observe because I notice that people are very busy, but they really work on being extra nice because it's almost like a little button has been pushed that says it's the holidays. It gives people a purpose. And it, you know, I'm not sure that it's the birthday that gives them the purpose or just the change of their schedule, you know, because I don't know everybody that I meet. And I did observe something, though, this week. And by the way, I'm going to be talking about worry and trust tonight. So I just want to let you know that's the subject. As I was going through a lot of appointments this week as an attorney, I noticed how nice everybody was. I mean, I met so many people. There were a lot of some of the appointment documents and the information that was needed for the appointments were late on some of the appointment times. But everyone was so nice. And I just have to say that, you know, I know that they're not listening this evening, but I just wanted to appreciate each and every one of them because I go out of my way as an attorney, obviously, or just as a person, I should say, to be nice to everybody, because I know that these are important times for everyone. When I come to do an appointment with someone, it's a very, very valuable time for them. And so I really treasure that when so many people have shown their kindness back to me. So I just wanted to say that. And I want to just make a comment that life is all about gratitude. I'm just going to flat out say it. It doesn't matter about your religion. It doesn't matter if you never go to church. It doesn't matter. As long as you can be grateful to God, to your higher source, to I call spirit, is to be in gratitude for every single thing that's given to you. Because there's so much that we have to be grateful for. And I think that a lot of people say, oh no, not gratitude again. That doesn't really work. Well, let me tell you what I have found through my years on this planet, just as Dr. Vicki, is that gratitude is so easily forgotten in our world. We get into worry. We get into, oh, it really can't happen to me. Or we get into some viewpoint that is more worry than it is really gratitude. And I'm going to give you a really good example of it. I'm going to give you a lot of personal examples tonight because that's all I have to go by. I can share with other people, you know, some things that other people have shared with me without obviously giving their names. It's just that I was sitting on the couch and I love Hallmark. You know, I'm a girl, for heaven's sake. I love the Hallmark shows. And I don't really want to watch the news because it's pretty traumatic these days. I like to hear it for about 10 minutes, know what's happening, and then, you know, move on. But I will say that I was laying on the couch too, but I was sitting on the couch. I had my little puppy with me, and I had really found a home that I really want to move to. So I was getting all excited about it, actually. It was like, wow, I finally found this perfect home. I've been looking in this area for a couple of years. I haven't found anything. All of a sudden, this house shows up. And I'm like, that's the house. And I got really into excitement about it. And then I got really down and got worried again when I said, well, wait a minute. Why are you so excited? Because you're still living in your home. why don't you give thanks for this home? Because I really immediately went into a worry and a negative attitude, like, oh, well, the house has got to sell first. And, you know, then I got into, oh, no, you know. And so I really had to apply what I'm talking about tonight. And immediately I went into using Dr. Noah St. John's little great book of affirmations, or great little book of affirmations, where he asks, instead of asking, why isn't this happening or why isn't that happening, just say, why is it all so beautiful? And why do I have my perfect house? And why do you have your perfect job? And, you know, instead of worrying about it, find a tool. I mean, it's little real. So I want to say it's not my purpose tonight to sit there and say to you, don't worry, just have fun, you know, trust. I don't really like to do that because I hear that all day long. Anytime I go anywhere, it's always, oh, well, just trust. And it's sort of like almost that in itself can get you down pretty much. If you really don't have a tool to know what to do to turn that worry into trust. So the first thing I want to talk, and I always, always do my very best to give, you know, my kudos to anyone's information that I use. And the Great Little Book of Affirmations by Dr. Noah St. John's is absolutely a powerful source when you're out and about, when you don't have any books with you or any sources that you read for comfort, regardless of what that may be. And but this little book, it just asks you to ask questions. Why do I live in my perfect house? Why do my daughter and I live in this perfect home for us? And then that way you're giving permission for spirit to find the perfect house for you. And it could be the very house that you're in, or it could be another home. And when you always ask, why am I happy, healthy, and wealthy now, living in this perfect home for my family. So that was the tool that I used. And then I immediately went into gratitude and I said, you know, Spirit, I want to thank you. And I went in there for like 5 minutes. I went into this gratitude, sitting there watching Hallmark, by the way. I didn't turn the TV off. I didn't do anything special. If I had had 100 people there, nobody would have ever known what I was doing. It doesn't take any effort, or you don't have to embarrass anybody or impose your own viewpoint on anybody. You just have to be there with your own, you know, your own connections. And I just sat there and I said, thank you, Spirit, for giving me this perfect home. And thank you because so many people have lost their homes. So many people are not even having a home. Or if they do have a home, it's cold, you know, and I've got this nice, cozy, warm home in the North Georgia Mountains that's full of heat. And so, you know, it's like so much to be in gratitude about. Now, I want to start sharing with you. It goes back 14 years ago, possibly even 15, when I really look at the very beginning of my sister's journey with cancer. She lived in Louisiana, and she was a party girl. She loved people, and people loved her. And so when she found out in 2001, it was right the year that I lost my son, 2001, it was that year that she found out she had cancer. And when she knew the next Thanksgiving, which is now 14 years ago, that she would not be making it to her next Thanksgiving, which would have been in 2003, she had the biggest party, Thanksgiving celebration, I've ever been to in all of my years. I think she had 50, 60 people there. She lived in this big plantation home in Louisiana, and she had a lot of space. So we were not crowded. We were just one big happy family with all of her friends. I mean, of course, her family was there, but these were all of her friends that came from far and wide. Some of them, you know, flew in to be with my sister Dougie because she knew she was stage 4, and she just knew. It wasn't that she had given up, but she just knew. And she was there to give gratitude for her life with all of her friends. And I was so, you know, at the time I wasn't touched by it. I was you know, regretfully so into the loss of my son that I really couldn't get into that. But today, as I woke up this morning saying, you know, what I want to share with everyone. And every little email that came in was on worry and trust. So I said, okay, thanks, Spirit. I got your message. I know exactly what you want me to talk about. And then about an hour ago, before the show started, I started thinking about my sister. So I thought to myself, wow, what is it I need to share about that? And I think it began tonight. It begins with my sister, because that 14 years ago, almost to the day, she celebrated her life with the people that she loved. And she even had her ex-husband there and his wife. And it was just a love. It was a celebration of her life, of gratitude for the life that she had lived and for her friends. That's why she did it, was for her friends. Everyone else was in deep gratitude for her for having it and for being who she authentically was. So we had a celebration that was, I've never had anything like that since. I wish I had. My daughter would love it. She loves to be with people, lots of people. And so 14 years ago, my sister has this celebration, Thanksgiving celebration. And the next year, she truly was gone. She passed away the month before Thanksgiving. And I never put it together, but basically, she wasn't worried. She had such a beautiful connection with God that she wasn't worried. She said, you know, it's my time. For whatever reason, I have caught, you know, this cancer situation. And she knew why she had it, and emotionally and physically and everything else. But the facts are, she didn't make it to the next Thanksgiving. And this Thanksgiving, it was very interesting because I found a skirt. It looks like a bunch of cowboys and Indians. And I mean, it's probably, to most people, be the tackiest skirt you've ever seen in your life. It's kind of turquoise, very, very country western. And I was going to give it away. And for some reason, all those clothes I was going to give away just sit in the closet, and I never gave it away. And then all of a sudden, we're hosting a girl from Latvia this Christmas. So I thought, well, I'll go through this and see if there are any clothes that might fit her. And so I found a few that I thought, wow, this might fit her. And there was my Thanksgiving skirt that I had worn every Thanksgiving with my sister for probably 6 or 7 years. Well, it is in excellent shape. I still fit into it. Well, it has an elastic waist. I'm not stupid. On Thanksgiving, I'm going to not have anything that fits tight. And but I took it out. And I showed it to my daughter, and I said, well, this is my Thanksgiving, my new Thanksgiving skirt that I've wore with my sister and our family for years. And she said, oh, Mom, that's the tackiest looking thing I ever saw. And I said, I know, sweetie, but it means a lot to me because it was something that I wore with my sister, and I'm going to start wearing it again because I had made a commitment to not ever throw that away. But yet I had, you know, was just about to do it, but Spirit didn't want me to, so that's why it didn't happen. But anyway, so this Thanksgiving, I will wear my beautiful, as my daughter said, tacky country western skirt, and we'll be comfortable, happy, and we'll give a dedication to my sister. So 14 years ago, that's when the gratitude, I saw gratitude in a way that was, in the face of someone passing away, crossing over, leaving this earth, all they could think about was their friends and how much they loved them. As I was preparing for tonight, I was looking at all of the times that we as folks worry. We have a lot of things going on in our world that creates worry. And again, I want to get back to the tools of what to do with that. Yes, you can sit in your living room and watch news channel all day long and go into a you know, total state of worry. And I'm not saying don't listen to the news. That's your, you know, what you do with your own life. You know, for me, I can listen for a short time and pretty much gather what's going on. And, you know, unless there's a storm or something and you really want to know, you know, what's happening. But overall, you know, discernment, you know about your world. So, but what we can do to help with that is to start giving thanks for what is right. And, you know, today we had certain things that were on the news, and all I could do was say, why is everyone so safe? That's all I did. I took a couple of walks today in the mountains, and I kept saying, why is everything so peaceful? Well, according to what I've heard in the last, up until shortly, everything has been peaceful for what was supposed to happen. So I feel very blessed that everyone is at peace right now, or at least in a stable situation where everyone is safe, at least to the, my understanding. So I just really want to emphasize that during this holiday season, it is only natural to be concerned and worry about, you know, your kids are going out in the car. And I want to share something about my daughter with that. My daughter is old enough to almost, not quite, to get her license. She has her permit. And she doesn't really want to drive that much. She enjoys it once in a while, but she doesn't always want to drive. And I asked her, I said, what's the real reason that you don't really want to get your license? Because, you know, right now you have a permit. I mean, there are so many opportunities, freedoms that you have. And you could, you know, do the things that you want to do, visit the friends that kind of live far away. Not real far away, but 45 minutes away. All of her friends live at least 45 to a minute to an hour away. And I said, you know, maybe you could go visit them. And she said, you know, I have to be honest. I'm afraid I'm going to kill somebody when I drive. So, I mean, I immediately thought to myself, okay, there's some discernment there. Our children should have discernment because teenagers do get in a lot of wrecks and there are a lot of situations that do happen. Yet, at the same time, I said, wow, there may be some fear here, unwanted fear. So, as you all know, I believe in past lives. I have proven that to myself and my understanding that it was taken out of the Bible because of political reasons. So, you know, my firm belief is that they're past lives and I've experienced them, and so has my daughter. And so I immediately said, well, this coming week, I am going to really work on some, well, I've already started it, but continue it this week, to do some energy work with her so that the discernment stays, the concern stays, the safety stays, but the deep-rooted fear of possibly maybe one of her friends in a past life passing, or maybe a family member passed, maybe she really did kill somebody in a past life, or maybe she did that as driving. So, you know, I can't judge anybody when they say something like that. All I can say is, oh, okay, well, we keep the discernment, keep the concern, but throw away the fear. And so I'm going to do a lot of energy work on her, with her permission, of course, and see if I can get it so that she feels more comfortable about being behind the wheel. And I do want to say that I don't feel personally as a parent that we should push our children to drive. If they don't feel comfortable with it, then we have to trust them. So many kids are so anxious to get out there and, you know, put their foot on the accelerator. And I don't think it's necessarily the way we should have it to be. I mean, yes, they become more independent. And I encourage that because I think that's a sign of health for a young person. Yet at the same time, if they don't feel comfortable, then to push them, I don't think is healthy either. So I really kind of stepped back on that one and looked at the worry of it versus the fear versus the discernment and the concern, and also maybe she's just trusting herself. Maybe she feels like she needs a little bit more time to, you know, before she actually gets out there, because she's an excellent driver. I mean, I've driven with her for probably 40, 50 hours at this point. But in the state of Georgia, you have to have 10 hours, I believe, of night driving. You know, another thing that I was doing as I was preparing for this evening was I was looking at all the Bible verses that, and I'm not real biblical, y'all. I've read the Bible many times, and I've studied it many times. I'm an ordained minister. But I don't really necessarily get into all of the different interpretations of what it means. Because for me, a lot of times the Bible can bring, if it's interpreted certain ways, for me personally, it brings out a lot of fear and distrust and things. And I don't choose to do it. I take more of the unity viewpoint, where you find the benefit, the beauty, the gifts out of what the Bible verses say. But, you know, there were, I mean, I'm just going to mention one in Peter, verse, chapter 7, or what, I'm getting it confused. But anyway, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. And I know that there are many people out there, whether you're listening or not, there are a lot of people out there that do truly give your concerns to God, and I'm going to say spirit because that's how I term it. But when you do that, it's amazing because it's like, you know, I can't do it alone. I mean, I really can't. None of us are alone. We may get lonely at times, and we may feel alone, but we're never alone. We have this team. If y'all could see what I see, because I'm clairvoyant, I can look, if I tune into someone, I can see their angels around them, their spirit guides. I can see their ascended masters, and those are connections to spirit. I mean, it's like you have this team following you around all the time. And if you just listen, the answers are there. And if the answers are not there, sometimes it's because we're not supposed to know. I mean, if we knew everything in life, there would be no experiences. It would be like, okay, well, tomorrow this is going to happen, and tomorrow that's going to happen. I mean, it would be the journey of our soul would not be learning anything if we already knew everything. There would be no reason to be here. And so, I was just in Matthew chapter 6, verses 33 and 34, it talks about seeking the kingdom of God and the righteousness of that and all those things that will be added to you. And therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now, I don't quite understand that one. That seems to be a little negative for me, and I'm not quite sure what they're saying about that. You know, if I were with theologians right now, I would get their viewpoint, or if I were with spiritual people, I would get their viewpoint on that. But basically, it's saying, why put more worry out there anyway? You don't need it, because you're almost setting yourself up for things to happen if you worry about them. And so that's when you sit back and you say, you know, I need some help. And I'll do that in times when I'm just really needing some trust and I don't want to be worried about something. I will just surrender and I'll just say, you know, spirit, I don't really know what's going on with me right now. I will do some energy work, and you can call energy work prayer if you want, but it's, you know, a little different for me. But I, you know, prayer, whatever you want to call it, it's a nomenclature thing. That's all I can say about it. If you have a connection with spirit, you're in the way that you know, it's meant to be for you. And I can't live your soul's journey and tell you, you know, for some person, it might be literally being on their hands and knees with their hands. I mean, yeah, with their hands together, you know, and for me, it might be a walk. It might be that prayer. I don't need to be in a church. I enjoy the people, but I don't need it to be connected with spirit. I need my walk. I need to be sitting in my own space. I can be in my car. Doesn't matter where I am. I have my connections. And boy, when I don't have those connections, I can really feel it. I get worried. That's when I get worried. But, you know, one thing I want us to always remember, that nothing is impossible with God. And that comes from Luke. And I'm not trying to be biblical here tonight. I was just amazed at all the different, you know, biblical verses that, regardless of what your religion is, these are some beautiful, beautiful, you know, Psalms. Like, cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. So it's like there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. We have heard this so much, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. So what a beautiful message. And I, you know, coming up toward Christmas, you know, Christ taught us to love. I mean, I feel that was his purpose in coming. You know, love, unconditional love, to teach all of us to love, not to judge, but to love. And I, you know, as time has gone on, we have a lot of religions, and we have a lot of fights, and we have a lot of fights over religion. And it's interesting because it's like I heard somebody say today, it was one of the presidential candidates, and I won't mention names because I don't really want to get into politics, but he was saying, you know, let people be religious if they want. Don't tell people how to believe. Don't tell people what to think. Let them have whatever religion they want. But the key is not to force your beliefs on somebody else. Now, somebody can be listening to my show tonight, and if you don't believe a word that I say, you can just tune me off, you know, or if you like it, you can tune in. And, you know, it's like I'm not asking you to believe like I believe. I'm sharing my beliefs in case I can teach somebody or share something that might mean something to somebody. But I'm not going to have a war, or I'm not going to get upset if somebody else has a different belief, unless they come and force me to believe that. And then, you know, then at that point in time, we have a situation where you just have to not fight. Find another way to find resolution with that, because if you're going to, if you and I or whomever is always going to be fighting to have, you have to believe the way I do, or I have to believe the way you do, then there's this constant battle. And as long as you have two people forcing their own opinions on each other, that's so many of the wars have come from that. And I really believe that looking at some of these Bible verses, it's like, you know, in Luke, it says, "And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God and believe also in me." And so, you know, that it brings up a very interesting thought for me, especially as a mother of a teenager, is that when we have children that don't believe in themselves or don't have confidence in themselves, I already know that there is a little bit of a disconnect there in my viewpoint, because how can you, if you really believe in spirit and believe in God and know that you're a child of God, then you would know that you're perfection. You know, yes, you can improve, and yes, we can always do things to make ourselves better. That's why we're here on this planet, I believe. Yet at the same time, we need to learn to love ourselves, because in that we're honoring that Christ within us. We're actually honoring the Christ within us when we honor ourselves. And I know that that can be taken wrong, because a lot of times people say, oh, that's egotistical, or that's, you know, narcissistic. I'm just talking about honoring the parts of you that made you the way that you are. If you're negative, then, you know, take that negativity and try to find some gift in that, or try to look in the spiritual aspect of that and say, well, wait a minute, what caused me to be negative? And maybe you can have some sort of growth from that instead of, you know, getting down on yourself. I mean, we've all got issues. I've never met anybody in the whole wide world that doesn't have issues. I mean, but some people have more control over their issues than some other people. And, you know, the ones that have the more control over themselves, I feel for whatever reason, they've got something going on. I'm talking about true control. I'm not talking about that fake stuff where everybody's just so sweet and nice and nobody ever shares their true hearts. And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the true person that is honest and forthright and is authentically themselves. And I have some very, very, very good friends. I just love them. I've known them for years, and our kids are close in age. And, you know, they're more like family friends than anything else. And, you know, I said one day, I said that they were also hosting a child. And I said something about, well, did they bother you when you went to get your home study that you had liquor out? And they said, no, that's who we are. You know, they're not alcoholics. They just drink casually. And I thought to myself, how authentic, because, you know, some people would have the tendency to put everything away, put their wine bottles away so that nobody thinks they drink. Well, that's not authentic. If they drink, they drink. Now, obviously, if you're, you know, DUI situation, that's completely different. But these are lovely, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people. And they, yes, they have a sip of wine now and then, or a little bit of scotch or something, but they're authentic. They didn't try to hide anything from anybody. They're who they are. and they have great connection with spirit, and they were just being authentic. And that touched my heart. This happened a couple of years ago. It touched my heart because it was like, yeah, be yourself. Just, you know, be who you are. If you're a drunk, then maybe you need to get a little help, you know, or if you're a drug addict. I mean, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just normal, wonderful people living their lives and being authentic about it and move on. And if you are having those issues, then get help, because everybody needs help now and then. We all have to go through things. And it's not a failure to do that at all. I mean, as much training as I've had, I still have a mentor that I go to and get help now and then with situations. And I'm still constantly training. And I never think I even begin to know even a fraction of this world's. I mean, I feel like I'm just a little teeny little bit coming out of an egg, learning information, because there's so much. And new information is coming in every single day. It just comes, you know, more and more information is coming in from the higher beings, because that veil between the physical and the non-physical is just becoming thinner and thinner, so that people can hear more and be able to perceive more. And that's why some of these kids, y'all, that are coming in are very, very in tune, and they're extremely aware that life has got to change. And that's why I hope we don't drug them too much, because I tell you, when you drug these kids and they're, I met somebody the other day that had a little, their child was a little on the hyper side, they said. So they just drugged them. You know, they put them on some sort of medicine. They changed the names of it all the time. I don't really know the names anymore. I don't keep up with that now that I'm not doing guardian ad litem work. But basically, when you drug a child, you're taking that creativity away. That, in my viewpoint, now I'm not a medical doctor, I'm just giving you my opinion. That's all I can do. But I've seen it. It's like they become little zombies. In some cases, they need some help, and I know that. And I'm not talking about that kind of situation. But this child was just a child that really had a lot of energy. It had a lot of creative, right-brained learner. So, you know, she learned very, very differently, very much like my daughter. My daughter's a right brain learner, and you put her in a traditional classroom, as much as she loves to have friends and stuff, you know, she doesn't want to go to a typical school because it's not geared for her kind of learning. Now, she has been to schools that are geared for her kind of learning, and she thrives. She thrives in them. And yet at this point in her life, even though she does want to be in a high school, she does not want to be a part of that learning system that is not geared for her. And I don't know how I kind of rambled off on that, but I did. And so be it. That's who I am. I just ramble sometimes when I'm in channel. I just ramble and talk, and hopefully somebody gets something out of it. Yet at the same time, I do want to say that when we have our kids coming in now, we need to give gratitude for their special gifts, especially on the computers. Have mercy. I've never seen anybody in anything as these kids know computers and electrical devices. It's just amazing to me. I've got to completely change over all of my computer systems before the end of the year so I can take it off my taxes, because I really need some new computers. You know, these things, after you've had them a year, it's like a phone. It's like, well, my phone's only a year old. Oh, excuse me, that's really old. But let me get back to the worry versus the trust. Sometimes when we worry about something, we let the trust go, that maybe spirit really does have a plan for us. And if we really let it go, then we don't have to have that worry. You know, Sandy's on line one. Miss Sandy, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, wow. Do you sound good?
Well, I won't stay on here long. I'm feeling better, but I had to comment what you were talking about. Drugging children. Our
yes.
School system seems to want to put every little normal childhood behavior as something that needs to be labeled and drugged. And as you know, I used to be a children's rights advocate, a family rights advocate, and used to go into schools with parents to help them keep their rights over say-so on their over their own children. And I would like to just tell you about one case that I handled. The parents were called. Both parents had to miss work. The principal had to attend the meeting, the teacher, the school psychologist, a psychiatrist was on standby, and the parents were told this was an emergency meeting, that the child had deep-seated psychological problems. And everybody was sitting around at this meeting, and the mother was about to cry because she was told that 7-year-old child had to have an in-house psychiatric evaluation because of these deep-seated psychological problems. The evidence was a picture the child had colored all in black. The mother, in tears, turned to her child and said, "Why, son, why did you color that picture all in black?" And he said, "Johnny beat me up and took all my other colors. That was the only crayon I had left." And it was as simple as that. Yeah. And sometimes it's as simple as, like they say, the best horses were wild colts, okay? Sometimes, especially boys, are just very energetic. And that's why that on 3-to-1, they're labeled more often than girls in school. And I think it's just a crime on our young people that we don't have more patience with them, and that everything is about labeling and drugging. And also interesting to note, and then I'm going to shut up on this subject.
Oh, I love
that.
Talking.
The last time I investigated it, the school systems were getting like it was well over $1,000 per child labeled and put on a medication per school system, you know, which gave the school system an incentive to label, and it's just not okay. But I've had surgery, and I am beginning to lose my train of thought already. I love you. I'm just going to go and listen in some more and shut up before I start getting goofy on you.
Okay. Sandy, it's always nice to hear from you. Actually, that is a true statement, what she's talking about, as to the best of my knowledge, several years ago when I was a guardian ad litem and working with children, that the school systems do get money for drugging, you know, for labeled children. And so, you know, it's easy. I don't want to get in that subject tonight because my main job tonight is on trust and worry. But I will share this. If you've got a child and you've got a child that's in school, and you will worry about them, you know, you will, because the school system, today's school systems anyway, that I'm aware of, that's all I'm going to say, is the ones that I'm aware of, will take your children away from you if you do not put your children on medicines when the doctor says they have to be. And these doctors are also, you know, kind of connected somehow or another with all that. But I don't know all the details. All I know is what I used to know. And that was just 3 years ago when I was doing guardian ad litem work. But, you know, when a child doesn't learn the same way as another child, then at that point in time, then they're expected to put their children on whatever medicines are required, or their children will be taken away from them and put into DFACs as medical neglect. And so, you know, that kind of worry, I don't call that worry, y'all. I call that discernment. I call that concern for our children. And I think that we can get a little too nitpicky on what worry is, because sometimes you have to have a lot of concern. And I will give you my definition of the difference between, I'm hearing some sort of static on the, not sure what that static is. Are you still there, Sandy?
Yes, maybe I am. I'm going to go ahead and hang up and just listen now. And I'm enjoying your show, and
I
will talk to you some other time.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I want to just say, give you my definition of what worry is and fear as opposed to concern and discernment. If you're standing at a crossroads between two, you know, sides of the street, and you're trying to wait until there are no cars to come before you cross the street because there are no lights or anything, that is discernment, and that is not worry. That's just discernment and concern for your safety. And, you know, we do have to have trust in our lives. So if you say, well, I have trust that God will protect me crossing over the street, and you cross over in a busy intersection where people or busy street where people are going 60 miles an hour, and you cross the road, your chances of getting killed are pretty strong. And you can say all you want, well, I trusted God to take care of me. Well, maybe you'll get on the other side, but more than likely you're going to get hit. And I'm not talking about that. Trust doesn't mean that we just sit around and eat potatoes all day and potato chips and don't go to work and trust that God was going to, you know, provide us with income. I mean, I'm sorry, folks. That's not what I mean by trust. I'm talking about getting out there, doing the best that you can, using your skills, using your talents in this world, and being the best that you can. And then when you're going to cross that street, trust that you will get across the street, but use discernment to make sure there are no cars coming. It's just that simple. Now, if you're sitting at the side of the street and there are no cars coming and you still are concerned and you start to worry, oh my gosh, if I step in the road, I might get killed. And you sit there for an hour waiting to cross the road. That's worry. That's fear. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, you know, you can't just trust and, you know, that is fear that has overtaken you and stops your life. The kind of worry that I'm talking about is that kind of worry that when your child goes out on a date at night and you sit there with your hands wringing and say, oh my God, something horrible is going to happen, something horrible is going to happen. That's worry. That doesn't do you or your child or anybody good. You're actually putting out energy to the world. Even if you're the kind of parent like I am that would be concerned, and believe me, I will be. I know that about myself. I will probably, the first time that she goes out on a date, she hasn't started dating yet, but the first time that she goes out with anybody at night, whether it's a date or friends or anything, I definitely will be concerned. And what I will have to do most of the day in preparation for the next time that she goes out is I will have to probably sit there and say, why is she so safe? Why is she so safe? I'll probably have to get very busy so that I won't keep my mind on it, because I know myself and I know how concerned I get, but that doesn't do her any good. The best thing that I can do is to put more positive, you know, why is she so safe? And that would be a lot better to do that. And that's a tool that you can use. When you start to worry, and this again goes back to Dr. Noah St. John, the mind loves to answer questions. And we present questions to our mind all day long. Well, why did they do that? Or, you know, why isn't this happening? You know, why did I get that job? Why did he treat me that way? And your mind is sitting there giving you answers to that, and you're going to come up with something negative. So why not just ask something positive? Why is that person always so nice to me? Even though they may have just been the rudest they've could ever have been to you, why not just say, why is that person so nice to me? You know, I see something nice about them, and start focusing on the beauty of something about them. Wow, I do love that blue she has on today, even though you don't like anything else about the person. Just focus on the blue. Wow, do I like that blue? Why is that person so nice to me? It's a change of life, folks. I'm just going to flat out tell you. Doing this changes your life. It does not happen in one day. It is a gratitude situation, but it is a tool. If you shift the way that you speak and the way that you think, it will shift from worry to be soon, pretty soon you're going to start to trust yourself. If you have the tools, and you know, that's the kind of work that I work with people on, is to give them tools. Because if you have certain tools to work through your life, you will trust yourself more. when you trust yourself more, you will be able to trust spirit, you'll trust who you're with. I see as a woman, I've never been able to trust my ability to choose a relationship. Never have been able to do that. Now, I can't sit here and say that I've not been connected to spirit, because I have been. But I was not connected to an aspect of myself which spirit was allowed me to see when I opened myself up to being ready. That's what a soul's journey is all about. Timing. Divine timing. And who knows? I might have been able to learn about trusting myself on the first relationship I ever had. But I was a slow learner. I mean, I am a natural blonde. You know, I really am. And so, you know, maybe that has something to do with it. I'm joking right now. But when you trust yourself, then you can go out in the world and trust other people and trust yourself to make the right decisions. You know, thinking back on the children, when we put our kids on drugs and we say you've got this label and you can't do this and you can't do that, then what they're basically learning is they can't trust themselves. I can't do this without this, a drug. I can't do this, you know, I can't pass this test without a label. You know, it's the only way I can do this. And so the trust for themselves goes away. And the greatest gift that I'm giving my daughter is because she learns so incredibly, uniquely, beautifully, and she has these great gifts, is I'm teaching her to trust in who she is, the gifts that she has. And, you know, she'll say something like, well, I can't do that. And I'm like, so what? So what if your math skills aren't, you know, like Einstein, or I don't even know that he had good math skills, but whoever, you know, maybe you don't have the math skills that somebody has. So what we focus on is life math, you know, like math that gets you through life. And, you know, that's, you know, knowing how to give 15% or 20% when you go out, and somebody gives you, you give somebody a 10 and that you make sure you get your $5.60 back, you know, if it were $4.40 worth of supplies that you got. And so you learn the basics of life. And then the rest of it, you know, let her go be her actress and let her go be who she is, because that's where her gifts are. And if I had tried drugging her, and they did try to drug her early on in her years, and that's why she's not in public school. But if I had tried drugging her and making her to try to be like all the other kids, she would have definitely learned not to trust herself. And so there's a gift, y'all. There's another tool right there that you can do for yourself. When people come around you and say things or do things, just learn something about yourself that you can trust. Some gift that you have, some beautiful aspect of yourself. And I'm going to talk about Sandy for a minute, since she was so beautiful to call in, even though she's just had surgery. Sandy has a gift of comedy, a gift, sense of humor, that no matter what you say, that she can make something beautiful out of it. And I will say that when I talk to Sandy, because she is a very dear friend of mine, I find always something funny. You know, the humor in me comes out a little bit more. I have no humor like she does. And, you know, one day we're going to be writing a book together. And, you know, eventually that one day will happen. It's not time now, obviously, but when the time is right. Because she brings a humor to it. And I'm a little bit more serious. I have that Capricorn rising. So I'm a little bit more studious and serious. And, you know, Pisces and Scorpio and all those combined are not the most comical group of planets to be living with. But Sandy, for whatever her planetary aspects are, she has a lot of sense of humor. And so she uses that in her life, and that is what gets her to where she needs to be because of that. That's her gift to herself and to other people. If she ever let that go, then she would be letting go of who Sandy is. That would be the part of her that would not be authentically Christ-driven. In other words, she wouldn't be honoring the Christ within her. Is because she, you know, I mean, for heaven's sake, the story of Christ that I know was quite a renegade. I mean, he was quite a, he was not this perfect little person that just sat around, you know, doing what everybody thought he should do. He was out there doing his thing. He was being authentically Christ. So, you know, Jesus Christ, or however people termed him at that time. So, you know, he was certainly authentic. I mean, I can say that from based on the historian information that I have received and through all the studies that I've done, which are very small compared to many people, I'm sure. It's just that it's amazing to me the ability that we have to trust, and it all begins with ourselves. We've got to have some connection, y'all, with something greater than who we are right here on this planet. You know, we didn't create ourselves on this planet. Somehow or another, we got here, and we all have to, regardless of how we believe, just know that there's something greater than we are. And if we can have a connection to that, and I also want to share something because it came up on a show recently that, you don't need to know who you're talking to on the other side. Well, I have to say you do need to know who you're talking to. If you've got a connection with spirits and angels and archangels and who you call God, and you have a real strong connection with folks on the other side, if I'm going to be real Southern about it, and you get negative thoughts from that, that is more astral world. That is not who you want to be getting your information. So you really need to be very discerning. If you start to get answers and it says, you know, you got to do something bad to get that, I want to succeed, but I have to do this to succeed, then you know, without a shadow of a doubt, that is not a high plane spiritual being. That is not God. That is not spirit. If you have to go start wars because your God said that this person was bad and you have to stop them, that's not my understanding of what spirit is. You only get loving, beautiful messages to help yourself and others when you are truly, truly connected. Always remember that, because that is very important when you're connecting on the other side. You do want to know who you're talking to. You don't have to necessarily know their name. Oh, that's Archangel Michael, or that's Archangel Gabriel, or that's, you know, angel, you know, a name that you have. And I have Chief is my Indian guide that I've had for this lifetime. And I know when I'm talking to Chief. If somebody else were attempting to come in, I would know immediately, because I know his energies, I know his presence, and I know the kinds of beautiful messages that I get that bring me peace, prosperity of wisdom. And when I say prosperity, I mean prosperity of health, wealth, happiness, peace, joy, wisdom, anything that solves problems, anything that helps you live a better life, you know, is coming from a higher plane. So please be aware of that and know that that will help your trust. Learn to trust yourself. Take baby steps, but use your tools. Remember, when you're starting to feel down, ask, why am I starting to feel good? You know, try it. Go buy Dr. Noah St. John's book, The Great Little Book of Affirmations. Even if you don't, if you're not religious, not even spiritual, just go get that little book, and it'll turn your way of looking at things around. And just remember that when you start to worry, really look at that and say, am I resolving anything from this worry, or am I just digging a hole so that I can't even hear what the trust situation would be if I trusted? And, you know, there are many, many stories, y'all, that we can have about trust, but it all begins with yourself. Learning to trust yourself, seeing that connection that you have with that higher source. And when that worry starts to come in, that's when you have to be. We can't expect God to do everything for us. That's when we have to say, you know what, God, I surrender this worry to you. I give it up. take it away. Put it in a little bubble and take it away. I don't care how you want to term it, but just ask God for help to take that worry away and give you discernment, but not worry. And I just want to thank y'all so much. I love being with you on Sunday evenings. And this is a big, big week because it's a time where we, no matter what's going on in our lives, whether you're by yourself this Thanksgiving or if you've got a group of friends with you or family, find something to be in gratitude about. Find something. Even if you, you know, your sister and you fight all the time, or you and your mother fight all the time, find something that is good about her or him and focus on that. And do take a walk if you need to. Just keep the gratitude this beautiful Thanksgiving. Christmas and Thanksgiving are kind of melting together now. Gratitude really is what thankfulness is what Thanksgiving is about. So I want to just give thanks to each and every one of you. I bless you this week. I send my blessings and hope that you have the most beautiful week, the beautiful until we meet again next Sunday at 4 Pacific, 7 Eastern. And please go to my website, introduce yourself so I can get to know you. And I will look forward to talking to you next Sunday evening. Until then, have a blessed week.